I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The author, comedian, and activist Charles Demers joins me again, the Vancouver-born and raised comic headlines. At the Comedy Mix this week, starting tonight at 8:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, with two shows each, 8 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. It'll be the first time he's headlining in his hometown, and we all ought to see him. The Comedy Mix is at 1015 Burrard. Check out their website at thecomedymix.com for details and to reserve. Charles Demers is the author of The Great Vancouver Special, simply the best book on Vancouver in recent years, and the novel Prescription Errors. He appears regularly on CBC Radio's The Debaters, and was a co-host of the City News List. Hosting the show is Paul Bay, who actually taught at my high school. And the other comic on board is Phil Hanley. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program, Charlie Demers. Good morning, Mr. Demers.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Not bad, except it just occurred to me as you were introducing me that this is the first time that there's been ever any pressure on me to be funny in these interviews. I've always it's always been the books before, and the funny was just icing, and now I feel a tremendous amount of pressure.
Let's talk about politics. We usually talk about politics when we talk to one another.
Sure.
They had this big election on Monday.
Yeah.
What did you make of what happened?
I thought it was bittersweet in a lot of ways. I mean, the depressing stuff, from my perspective at least, is all, you know, pretty obvious. I was not expecting a Harper majority, nor was I looking forward to one. So that's obviously, from my perspective at least, a little bit depressing. But on the flip side, I thought it was an election that really showed people just how much they can change. Obviously a seismic shift is the cliche that has emerged in our kind of earthquake-obsessed times. It really was. I mean, it's the biggest election since 1993 in terms of what will be the effects on Canadian political culture. I was super happy to see the NDP get official opposition status. I was ecstatic to see a Green MP finally elected to Parliament, and the sort of implosion of the Liberal Party and the Bloc Québécois I have various feelings about, but one thing that you have to give this election is it showed people they can change the situation in their country pretty dramatically, and I think ultimately that's probably a good thing.
Are you from Quebec?
My dad is born in Sherbrooke and sort of raised and lived just outside of Montreal in the suburbs around the Thousand Islands. So he came out here in the mid-70s. So my dad and my whole father's side of the family is Quebecois. But I was born out here and raised out here.
Yeah. No, you're a political guy, Charlie. Does politics come up in your act?
Oh, it does. It does a lot, and it comes up in various ways. But there's everything from mothers against drunk driving to Palestinians to Harper sometimes makes a brief appearance. And there's also stuff that's, sort of not necessarily political on the surface, but, underneath is a little bit, my brother being in a gay marriage or myself being in an interracial marriage, and there's, this sort of personal politics in a lot of it. It's not uniquely political from start to finish by any means. People who like blowjob jokes probably won't be disappointed. There's a lot of politics.
Now, in terms of making a joke, say, about public figures, about politicians, just thinking about the federal election on Monday, would you make a joke, say, about the Harper's marriage or about Jack Layton and the massage parlor?
That's not tended to be my... I mean, the problem with that kind of material, I guess, is that it really dates very quickly. And you know, if I, you know, it'd be one thing if, you know, I were like writing on a well, I mean, when we were doing the City News List, you know, we certainly would have made jokes about that. I don't know about the Harper's marriage thing, because I don't know if, you know, that's still one of those officially unofficial stories or whatever. But you know, in terms of putting it in my act, they really only last for jokes like that. Really, only last for a couple of weeks. I mean, we'll see if this like Jack Layton massage parlor thing sticks. But I think that the smallness of the story and the and then Osama bin Laden getting killed the next day, I have a feeling that'll kind of bury that in. But we'll see. I mean, maybe it'll come back up to the surface. But jokes like that, the problem is the shelf life. You know, I'm recently having to kind of phase out all of my jokes about the Olympics. I mean, that's something that a lot of Vancouver comedians are doing right now. They had this major event, you know, that for 5 years they were writing jokes about the Olympics. For a year and a half, you could, you know, you could consistently count on them, and then, you know, now it's been over a year since the games, and so, like, well, okay. Even the audiences are kind of saying, well, you need to write something new.
And jokes about bin Laden, I mean, that's something we can joke about, right?
Yeah, I mean, the it was weird watching the Twitter, I mean, my whole experience of the bin Laden's death was just because, that super long delay in terms of waiting to make the announcement, it was just a race to just try and say the cleverest thing on Twitter. That was seemingly the whole, everyone was just trying to have the funniest bin Laden death tweet, which I guess was kind of macabre. Yeah, I mean, I don't trying to think if I have any jokes from that will make it into the act. I mean, the Twitter is so ephemeral, and you know, there's not necessarily a joke that works on Twitter doesn't necessarily have the staying power to make it into a live show.
Yeah, the best one I think I read on Sunday night during that whole thing was Donald Trump looking for the death certificate.
Oh, right, yeah. But that joke, that was the joke that was made in a million different places at once at the same time. And it was kind of like, it was the equivalent to the, when Martha Stewart was in jail, you know, making a joke about how she'll make her cell, you know, really nice or whatever. Like, it was the joke that kind of everybody discovered at once, and the internet just kind of threw up. The Trump thing was pretty classic. He's such a ridiculous figure.
What about the Canucks? I mean, it's a hockey mad city at the moment, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be, you know, we'll be talking about it a little bit at least. You know, as a Canucks fan / evening performer, I'm of mixed feelings about the playoffs. I mean, when I'm not working or don't have a show, it's great. When I'm got, you know, a big weekend like this, I just think, oh God, I have to compete with the Canucks, which of course nobody can really do. So you just sort of bear down, and the people who the great thing about doing shows on a weekend like this is everybody who's at the show is there because they love comedy and they want to see the show. So if you're doing a show for people on a hockey night, they're generally, you know, they'll maybe a smaller crowd, but they'll be a really, really good crowd because they consciously chose you over, you know, playoff hockey, which is, you know, a big deal.
So we're planning to come down, a bunch of friends in mine.
Oh, great.
On Saturday, but apparently Saturday's a game day, so we're going to go to the 10:30 show.
The 10:30 show, yeah. And, I mean, the 10:30 show will be great, and the, you know, each of these shows kind of has their own energy within the, you know, realm of everybody's doing the same act, but you know, the late night Saturday show is usually a little rowdier. We'll have done 5 shows by then, and you know, I've been known to have a drink before the last show on a weekend just to carry the energy through. So it can be a lot of fun. And if everybody's in a good mood because the Canucks won and stuff like that, I mean, it should be a really, really good show.
Now, you're starting tonight. This the first of five shows.
Yeah, we do. It's 8:30 on Thursday night and then 8 p.m. and 10:30 both Friday and Saturday.
And how does it work in terms of the material that you use? Is it the same for all five, or do you tailor it if something happens in the audience, say, or?
Oh, I mean, you within the you've got sort of the blueprint for your show. I mean, you know, it takes a long time to write material. You know, at least for me, and certainly for the majority of comics. I mean, there's some really prodigious ones like Graham Clark, who seems to write a new 15, 20 minutes every couple of days. Much to everyone's envy. Most of us, I've got about an hour of material. More experienced comics might have, several hours of material to dip into and out of. I've got more material than I have time this weekend on any of the given shows. So there might be some change up of material. There'll certainly be mostly overlap. And then within any given show, you've got the energy of the show determines what happens, how much you interact with people in the audience, how much crowd work you do, that kind of stuff. So it's really kind of, it's really up in the air. Although, if you were to come all five shows, you'd be pretty bored, I think, after the second show, probably. They're more similar than different.
Yeah. Now, is everything memorized? I mean, I was watching that documentary, the Joan Rivers one.
Right.
And she had everything on cue cards on the floor.
It's memorized. Some guys will take out notes. And that tends to be the ones who change their material the most. So like Graham, who I mentioned, he'll often take out a notepad with him. And the notepad is also kind of an aesthetic thing as well. It tends to be that in more kind of quote-unquote alternative comedy, and I use that term for lack of a better one, but more kind of alternative comedy, the notepad is kind of part of it, because those crowds tend to really want to be part of, the moment of creation. In a club set like this, I won't be going out with notes, so yeah, I'll just be memorizing the jokes, and harder than that is just memorizing the order of jokes.
As a kid, were you always funny? Were you humorous?
I don't want to sound say I'm funny, because I don't think I've been particularly funny this interview, but I was. My mother, who was also, she was very, very, very funny. She first referred to me as a comedian in her baby journal when I was about 14 days old.
Really?
Not that I had actually done anything funny, but that she, I peed on the doctor, and for her, that was funny, and she referred to me she put it immediately in the frame of being a comedian. It was something that's very important in my family. Like, I come from a very, very funny family, so I feel like, I don't know how much of it was nature and nurture, but the comedy thing was nurtured from a very, very young age. So I was always, the funny kid in class or whatever, that kind of thing. So, it's sort of mother's milk.
And who were your comedy idols growing up? Who did you like watching or listening to?
In the most kind of formative years, I guess it was Woody Allen's stand-up was the big, I feel like you and I end up talking about Woody Allen, sort of whatever the subject matter is. But I first heard Allen's piece about Hunting for the Moose. On an airplane when I was a kid, Air Canada used to have, you could choose different kind of audio stations to listen to, and they had kind of a comedy one, and it, I remember hearing this story, and just, you know, for those who haven't heard it, it's, you know, Woody Allen is hunting for a moose, and he, so he shoots this moose, and he puts it on the front end of his, he ties it to the front end of his car, and while he's driving back into the city, the moose comes to, it hasn't been killed, it was just unconscious, and he takes it to a Halloween party or a costume party, and, you know, there's a couple dressed as a moose there, and you know, he accidentally takes the couple back to the forest. I mean, it's this whole kind of surreal story, but just the way the story, the way he told it, the way, I was just like absolutely, absolutely mesmerized. The other big one when we were kids, and we were pretty little kids, was Delirious by Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which now has, you know, these kind of huge sections that are pretty, pretty revolting in their homophobia, especially. But you know, there's huge tracts of that special that are just, I mean, they're absolutely legendary. I mean, it's so funny, and you forget. It's easy to forget how funny he was, because he hasn't really, besides the Shrek stuff, he hasn't really done anything all that funny in recent years. But he was so good.
Yeah. What's it? What does it mean to be headlining in your hometown?
It's a very nerve-wracking, exciting thing. You know, you know, I was talking to my friend Toby Hargrave, who's a very fine comedian, very funny, super sweet man, and hilarious comic. And you know, we were talking about how in stand-up you're always, because there are so many levels, you can always be the worst at something. You know, like, so, you know, first you start and you're the worst of the new amateurs, and then, you know, you're the worst of the open micers, and then you're the worst opening comic, and then you're the worst middle act, and then you're the worst MC, and then finally, you know, if you play your cards right, you can be the worst headliner. And so you just keep moving into these like bigger and bigger tanks, and then ideally you kind of grow into them. And so to be, I mean, to be the last guy on the show at the club in Vancouver, and to not be sharing that billing with anyone else, and just be kind of, it's a huge responsibility. You know, I'll be on stage tonight for, you know, as much time, probably more, than all the other people on the show put together. I have a heavy responsibility to make sure that people enjoy me for the 45, 50 minutes that I'm up on stage. But it's also, it's a big thrill. I mean, I've headlined in Halifax. I've headlined in, you know, Victoria. So I've closed up the shows in cities that weren't my own, but to get to do it in Vancouver, and to get to do it where, you know, people who've read the books or people who are friends or whatever can come out and see it is a big thrill, and also pretty terrifying as well.
Well, break a leg, Charlie, and we'll be able to see you this weekend.
Thanks a lot, Joe. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. The website for more, thecomedymix.com. Do see Charles Demers with Paul Bay and Phil Hanley this weekend, starting tonight, Thursday at 8:30, Friday and Saturday, 8 and 10:30. The Comedy Mix is on Burrard Street here in Vancouver. Charlie Demers on the line. I'm Joseph Plata.